Implementing multi-tenant SaaS applications for HR requires a willingness to give up customizations and get users to adopt standardized, some might say rigid, business processes. What's it like to lead such a drastic change? How will digital transformation change the business? In this podcast, Deborah Robinson, Senior Vice President and CIO for Oracle Technology and Operations at Hearst, the multinational media conglomerate, gives an inside look at the company's move to Oracle Cloud HCM, ERP, and EPM, and how it uses AI and bots to ease the employee journey. This is Modern HR. What are some of the main themes you're going to talk about in terms of managing talent in the now?
What we really focused on in those sessions and even in the now is because we have so many of the modules already implemented, I've been really focused on the strategy of AI, ML, the chatbot, and how that improves the whole employee experience. And we're very focused on hiring all the way through and keeping employees and moving jobs intra company, because we're a very complex company with 8 lines of businesses, 400 legal entities. And half of those have people associated with them. The other half are financial. And it's the employee journey and how we've worked on that with Oracle, with the new interface. Dynamic Skills were early adopter programs. So a lot of discussion on the early adopter programs with Oracle and how that's worked to our benefit. Starting, when we originally went live with Oracle, and we were back in 2017, we did HCM Core. At that time, we did Taleo. We have since moved to ORC. So we've been on ORC for 2 years. The reasons why we did that was to eliminate integrations. We did custom integrations between HCM and Taleo. We had 10 of them. Out of the box did not work. Our organization is very complex. So we built custom ones. We had 10. And by going to ORC, we eliminated those 10 integrations. Plus, we rebuilt our career sites into the Oracle templates versus a third party. And by staying on platform, we were able to turn on the AI ML very easily in ORC. It was just a configuration. You turn it on, yes or no. Mm-hmm. And that's for best candidate, resume matching, and it works seamlessly.
So these were like AI apps that's already doing specific things, like you said, identifying the best candidate.
Yes, the sorting. So it was not a technology exercise then, because the technology works. It's a change management exercise with your recruiters and your HR people and having trust in that AI. So if you're getting 200 or 300 resumes in for a position, the AI was very good at sorting it high to low, which were the best matches. And actually, we had a couple HR people actually go through it and validate all that. That it was doing, you know, it's a trust thing. You know, you're having a machine do the work where I was doing it. Am I going to trust this? So that was very easy to turn on. Where we're going now is because we do onboarding also. We at Hearst did not have centralized onboarding before we put in Oracle. We didn't even have a centralized HR department at corporate. So now it's the whole employee experience of when you onboard. So they have a good experience with getting their computer equipment, with benefits, with their 401k, with learning about the company. So because of the flexibility of the onboarding system, there's a corporate Hearst onboarding, and then the brands do their own also. And we make sure there's no duplication. And then with building out journeys, which is part of that whole new process of the employee journey, the journeys are very good, and it's a great interface and very easy for them to use and understand.
Is it sort of a combination of like workflow and bots and things that are kind of going through the system, almost like a layer that goes through the HCM and maybe the ERP to do the steps that the employee needs, or?
Combination. You can configure whatever you like. See, the platform is so robust, and it's like ERP for HCM, that you need to decide what functionality you're going to use, what you're going to turn on. If you get the new Redwood interface, are you going to customize it for your company and brand it? So there's a lot of choices to be made and a lot of workflow choices to be made. And we were early adopters. I mean, we're going back to 16 here, and then built, you know, what was built then versus now, where HCM then was very transactional. And then when you're working with HR, they like the look and feel, they like the employee experience. Well, that is now there. So with journeys, you can build out a journey for any function that an employee needs to do. Like if I just got married, what do I need to do? Change my benefits, change my name, and walk employees through that for self-service.
What is it like to build that journey for maybe an HR person or an HRIT person? What do you actually have to do to build the journeys?
It's very simple. There's, I would say, logic behind the journey. So each break it down into small pieces. And let's say I have to fill out my W-2. I have to fill out payroll information and fill out benefits. So what the journey will do is step you through it in order and then go off to that information and bring it forward. Where before it might have been tiles or they weren't in order, this is actually in sequence and helps the employee just walk through it. And it's very pleasing and it's very nice and Redwood looks good and it's very modern. And then if you want to try the bot into that, which is the Oracle Digital Assistant, what we did is we tied it into Teams and Slack. So that makes it even easier for the user that they don't have to know that much about Oracle. And then the bot will help them walk through everything through Teams. So you sign on in Teams, which some people are in all the time. And we have to name our bot Gemma. So they'll go, it's a little icon and they'll say, hi, I'm Gemma. How can I help you today? And Gemma will walk you through how to look for different jobs, how to onboard. So it's really the personality you want to give the bot, or you could leave it Oracle plain. We have an art of just a cat because it was a joke. I named it after one of my cats, and now the icon is a cat.
Huh. When did you get this going, Gemma?
Almost a year ago. It's over a year. And what we've been doing, so when it first rolled out, we're an early adopter. We believe in the early adopter programs because we have input into the product. And then we've been refining the process and giving the bot our personality at Hearst. Not that our personality is a cat. Like I said, that was Project Gemma and it was Gemma from Sons of Anarchy. You know, people that are rolling out a bot or something. I know Hilton called theirs Connie. It's giving the bot a personality to your organization and culture.
How do you get the culture in there?
When we originally did the project, that we were doing HCM, ERP, and EPM. So we had a very large change management office with Accenture. And it was a major change with Oracle, Accenture, and Hearst and the organization because we came from Infinium, green screens, and paper, right to Fusion. That was a major transformation.
And that's not going all the way to Oracle Cloud quite yet, right?
No, we went right to Oracle Cloud. One of the first companies on there with a few others, mm-hmm. early adopters on that. And it was right to the cloud because we were a cloud first organization. And when we did software selection, we wanted to make sure whoever we went with had the three modules, ERP finance, HCM, and all the modules and EPM. For budgeting, consolidation, everything in the cloud. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the two, ERP and HCM, I think I read somewhere that good integration between the two was important to Hearst. And, you know, I know Workday, who you considered, you know, that's one of their selling points. And I think they're all saying it now, especially the ones that really do have the good integration. It sounds like it's supposed to be sort of a greater than the sum of the parts kind of synergy. Is that what you found at Hearst? And what have you done with it?
Yes, that's what we found. It's seamless integration. So our approval levels, they're tied to our job codes. And we went through a whole process. Again, that was very much change management on what level a job code would have a financial approval. And we refined that. It was like first we had, I forget how many levels, it might have been 12. We refined it with our job codes and even brought it down to 5 and made the bands wider. So yes, there is that integration. Of course, you don't have to do it that way. We chose to do it that way. And then you can make it multidimensional. So if your accounting people need a different financial levels of approval than HR, the rest of the organization, you can do that by job code. So we took the job family of accounting and finance and gave them different approval levels than the rest of the company. So that's one example. Also, the people and the legal entities are tied together across the two because we say we're 360 when we started the project, legal entities, we have more now. So there's that tight integration between the two and the finance people are always working with the HCM people that when we bring on new companies, because we do a lot of acquisitions, that everything's well coordinated.
So the legal entity thing, is that something that exists in ERP, or how does the integration between the two, and maybe the EPMs in there too, the financial analytics?
Yes, it all works together. Yep, it all works together, and it also goes off to workforce planning. So when you look at workforce planning for budgeting, data comes from HCM into workforce planning, and all the businesses and legal entities match up. So you're able to bring in salaries, bonus information, whatever you have in HCM. Otherwise, you're doing duplication or you're writing the integration yourself. And this was all seamless across.
You mentioned the big change management effort, and I'm wondering, since I've also heard that standardizing being, I think maybe the word rigid was used in another interview, rigid about standardization, which is a thing that people have learned about SaaS and they often have to get, you know, really adapt to. Was that part of what you were doing? Was it a pretty big change for your users to go to the Oracle Cloud and have it be SaaS? Was it like a real enforced standardization process that you had?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we're coming off Infinity, which was highly customized and did not support all the acquisitions we were doing and how quickly. So it became impeded growth and bringing new companies onto the financials. So when we embarked on this, we did a lot of key design decision sessions with all the business units in the room to get them to agree on what were going to be the key design decisions. We did no customization. That was one of our guiding principles. Standardization was another one. We wanted to do something that empowered the business units to run their business, but still have the standardization. So we configured within what Oracle offered at the time. And we worked closely with Oracle. If there was something that was missing, we were able to get into the roadmap or it was developed or configured. And we did not do any customization.
You know, I wonder, I'm interested in that whole customization versus configuration thing, because I've been hearing that about SaaS applications for a while. How much flexibility does configuration give you?
In my view, it gives you a lot. So every quarter, I remember we're getting upgrades every quarter with new functionality that keeps rolling out every quarter. And there's a lot of functionality by module. Some of the functionality is turned on automatically by Oracle. It might be security. It may, you know, a reason for it, you know, underlying platform. On the functionality, like for HCM or finance, you have to make a decision to turn it on. And there's just a lot being rolled out by module every quarter that to keep up with it, you have to make a decision as a company that you're going to keep up with that and review it every quarter, or I feel you fall behind because you don't have to put new functionality in except what comes delivered. So we have a review part process with all the product people by vertical to go through that with. We have a governance board and governance committees by module to go through what will be implemented, what would be useful. So turning it on, yes or no, basically, and doing the configuration.
What was the hardest part in the change management process in getting people to adopt the standardized processes?
I would say one was finance. So finance service center was running for 25 years. So that was HR, we didn't have that. We didn't have a centralized HR department either before we put in the system. So I would say on the HR side, it was the job codes, because we're in 8 different major lines of businesses. And to me, after learning about this and how it drives everything, it's like your GL account structure on the finance side. It's fundamental to get that correct. And at one point we had, because we're in the creative business, we have editors, we have writers, we have people on broadcast. Their business card titles, there's another field called business card title or assignment name, I believe it's called now, where people could call themselves whatever they want. And therefore, we started matching up job codes to that. We ended up with almost a job code for every employee. We went back and put all the business leads in a room, and now we have less than 2,000. And there's a very strict governance process around that. So that was one that comes to mind.
And what have been the business benefits, or I don't know if it goes to the bottom line yet, but maybe at least sort of business process efficiency, maybe, that you've seen from going to the Oracle Cloud for these various modules?
For me, what I see is the analytics. the analytics, the reporting. When we were, another big one was with the pandemic. On a Friday, we were told we're working at home starting Monday. If we were still on green screen Infinium, we could not have done it as smoothly as we did. It was easy for the workforce to start, the financial people, all the HR people to work at home. No problems at all. We just Friday, Monday, everybody was set up at home. No issues at all. We would not have been able to do that on Infinium. That's one. The analytics is new because we never had a data warehouse on the HCM side. So to do your DE&I reporting, to do intra-company movement. So we're very focused on who's changing jobs. All that would have been done manually before. So now there's a dashboard that gets produced every month that goes up to our chairman, CEO, and the presidents of the businesses and out to the HR leads. That is one of the biggest benefits. It's the analytics. And now we just got FAW, Fusion Analytics Warehouse, which will move into predictive analytics.
How do you hope to use that, the predictive analytics?
Employees. So for training, so we just implemented dynamic skills, which is part of the AI. We're in an early adopter program for that. And so that's about the employee journey and about training and retention and movement within the company. And again, reporting on will now be skills-based. We're doing a lot of reporting on job codes. Now we can go down to the skills. And again, early adopters. So we did a program. Oracle had asked us to have 100 people in for tests. We're up to about 800 people, and over 9,000 skills have been tested and put into Oracle. Oracle is part of the early adopter program. I really like the early adopter programs because I come from a development background, is being able to have input into the product. So originally the skills river was built on assignment name. And I said, for our company, we need it on job code. So now they have it as a configuration item. So it's working really well, the endorsements, everything. So we're quite pleased with it. So that will now go into recommendations on the LMS because we have the LMS on platform. It's all about the employee. The focus is on the employee.
Mm-hmm. How many of them are there, by the way, at Hearst?
We have 25,000 now, and I would say probably 15,000 are in the system. And then we also track contingent workers too.
You're on another panel, which you were on another panel, which is about unifying recruiting and HR. And maybe I'm just not enough. I'm writing about this, but not in the business enough to, it surprised me that you needed to do that. And are we talking about like core HR, like the original HRMS?
Core HR and what it was when we were on Taleo, which was the company that Oracle bought, we had to write the integrations. So you're constantly looking at data cleanup, you know, was something entered wrong? And we had 10 of them. We had 10 integrations, I think 9 going in, 1 going the other way. And you end up spending a lot of time maintaining those integrations because once somebody is in recruiting and you hire them, all their data now flows over seamlessly to core HR and to onboarding. So that's the piece, like that's a piece that's critical. So our whole onboarding process changed. We never had centralized onboarding where we could make sure that one person in corporate HR was responsible for a new employee coming on and make sure they got their equipment, make sure they knew how to do their benefits, make sure they filled out their W-2s correctly and all their payroll and banking information, where employees would have to figure that out for themselves or call different departments before. So it's hand-holding the employees and it's that employee experience on how they feel day one. Make sure they get their email address. It's been a major transformation in the company. And you know, we're so diversified and so decentralized. That brought the whole company back together. So our CEO has a video that he talks about the company. We have company videos, but then it's flexible enough that the brands can do their own onboarding also.
This sort of standard advice we hear from a lot of analysts and elsewhere is that don't put the technology first. Don't do technology for technology's sake. Make sure you know what you want to get out of it and then pick it. So it's a balancing act, it seems like. And in your case, you've done so many things with so many pieces, and it's so intimately integrated with so many parts of the company and the people management part. I'm wondering, like, how do you strike that balance as somebody with a good technology background as a CIO? How do you try to make sure that the technology is adding to and not subtracting from how you're managing people and how they feel, what the employee experience is?
Well, first, I agree with that. It should not be about the technology. It should be about people and process. And technology, in my view, has to work. If it works, you're not paying attention to that, and you're really focused on your process, your workflow, and people, and not the technology. Because otherwise, you're putting in technology for technology's sake, and it may not be a good match. Or it may be cool, or it may be nice, but it doesn't work within your culture or workflow. Yeah, I think it is a balancing act, but I've always come from it from change management and people and workflow.
Yet also technology is an enabler, and it's one of the reasons, certainly what we hear from the vendors, but I think we have good evidence that it often is the case that with technologies, there's things that you couldn't do or couldn't do so well before, because maybe it was paper-based or the communication wasn't as good.
Right. And I'm old enough to remember when everyone wanted to do best of breed. Like, yeah. Do you remember best of breed?
Absolutely. I've used the phrase a number of times in articles.
Yeah. And everybody wanted best of breed. And then if you look at best of breed, you have to do all the integrations, which is very expensive and timely, and you need the staff. And with the Oracle platform, maybe 80% of the functionality was there when we went live, but so much has been done. And we're talking again back to 16 and 17, that our view was we're going to be cloud first. We weren't going to worry about the infrastructure. We weren't going to worry about database administrators and all those skills. We were going to focus on the strategy. And since we felt the technology would work and everything was in the cloud and it was future, that's why we selected Oracle. Now, did we know it would work as well as it does today back in 16? We did our best analysis on the three vendors. And it's worked well. And the other thing I'll have to say, it's a partnership. Without the partnership, I don't think Oracle would work as well. But we have a fabulous partnership with the product people, with the developers, and we worked at that. That was a two-way street. That just didn't happen. I worked really hard at that. And it's a respectful relationship.
What's next? What part of the Oracle offerings do you have your eye on next that you can tell us about?
Well, we're at the point now where we have probably 90% of the modules implemented. So the next one we're going to put in is talent and succession planning. Again, but that's cultural. Our company is, that's where you want to go with that. Talent, great. So I would say for us, it's more about the AI, the ML, continuing with the bot and all the employee experience, because changing the interface in HR is important to HR people. Yeah. And that's the new Redwood interface and the journeys and everything else you can do to make it very simple for an employee to transact.
Do you have some specific ideas for how to use the AI and the bots in different ways that you haven't done already, or maybe something that Oracle has said is coming, some specific application?
Definitely for learning, definitely for skills. When employees say, here's the skills I have and they're endorsed and here's the skills I want to learn, that'll definitely work with the LMS to say, here's your course curriculum and what courses you should be taking. So that is the next step.
Well, Deborah, this has been interesting and I appreciate your time. Thanks for
You're welcome.
Coming on the podcast.